reading from God's holy word today. We're first reading in the Hebrew scriptures from Ecclesiastes. We're in the third chapter, verses 1 through 13. These are the verses in Ecclesiastes that we hear the most. I think they're well known, but sometimes it's good to hear those things again. May they be fresh to us. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. And our epistle lessons comes from the book of Revelation of John. We are in the 21st chapter, the first 6 verses. Wonderful to think about this vision on a new year as many of us start trying to have resolutions that we might want to keep for, I don't know, half hour or so, right? But hear this from John. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Our gospel lesson today is the second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. I decided to read the whole chapter because I think sometimes when we get snippets, it's hard to piece the story together. We heard on Christmas Eve, the end of the first chapter of Matthew, when we heard about how Joseph had a vision from the Holy Spirit telling him that Mary was with child, and not to divorce her, but to stay with her, for the child was from the Holy Spirit. And so we know that Jesus took Mary as his wife but had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when Herod had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, Herod asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they replied, for this is what was written by the prophet. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Herod sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, of incense, of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. And so was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. May the Lord bless his words to our hearts as we hear them this day. Let us pray. O God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I enjoyed the opportunity this fall to get together with many of you doing a Bible study of the Gospel of Matthew, to read it just from beginning to end and go through everything. And the other day I was at the salon where I get my hair done. I had a different hairdresser because my hairdresser, I don't know, she decided to have a baby, I guess, you know. It was exciting for her, and I had someone different who, you know, when she learned that I was clergy, started talking to me about how she'd gone to church on Christmas and heard all the begats of the first part of the Gospel of Matthew, and she says, and then the priest didn't even tell us why he just read that. He just read it, and she says, it was really boring. So I got to do some Bible study with her while she's working on my hair. I'm teaching her and everybody in the salon all about why all those begats were there and what they proved and everything we'd studied about in October. Y'all remember, right? So that was kind of fun. But now we're into chapter 2. And I wondered if y'all noticed some things that are common in the Hebrew scriptures that we found common right here in the Gospel of Matthew. Remember in the book of Genesis, there's Abram who comes to know the living God and becomes Abraham. Yeah. And he wants many descendants. And so he has the son Isaac. Yeah. And then Isaac has Jacob and Esau. And Jacob becomes Israel. And Jacob has 12 sons. But his beloved son was who? Joseph. And Joseph was called the dreamer because he had many dreams from the visions and the interpretations. And the Holy Spirit gave him that gift. And so his brothers got jealous and told his dad that he'd been killed, and they threw him down a well, and then they sold him into slavery. And where did he end up? He ended up in Egypt. And through his ability to dream and interpret dreams through the workings of God's Spirit, he was able to help the Pharaoh understand about feast and famine and to store up. And then all of a sudden, Abraham's descendants are starving to death in Cana. And they send emissaries to Egypt in the hopes that they can buy grain and not starve to death. And instead, Joseph is revealed to them as their brother, and they get invited to come to Egypt, right? That's how that all started, right? It's how Israel ended up in Egypt. Through Joseph and the dreams, they were saved. And now here we are in the gospel of Jesus our Christ. And there's a Joseph who has dreams. And in those dreams, he saves Mary from being stoned, because if he would have not married her, because she was with child, she would have been stoned. And he takes her as a wife, and he becomes father to her child, our Messiah, the Savior of Israel. And the Magi have dreams, and they see a star, and they travel to the land to pay homage. And they encounter King Herod. Now, most of us don't study Jewish history in great detail. But King Herod reigned for 30 years, and he was not a Jew. He was put on the throne by Rome, and he was a mean tyrant. And he divided the Jews, and he hurt Israel. And that's proved right here in this story, isn't it? Because he's so afraid for his own power that when he hears that the king of the Jews has been born, he plots and schemes and manipulates to destroy the child. And the Magi are warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, and so they go back home by a different way. And Joseph receives another dream, and he's told to get up and take Mary and the baby Jesus and go to Egypt. And he does, right in the middle of the night. He just doesn't even question it. He gets up, scoops up what they can, hurriedly stuffing things in knapsacks and just going to Egypt. Illegal immigrants. No passports, no visas, no permission from Rome. Just sneaking over the border. Herod, when he figures out that the Magi didn't come back, has his army, not the Roman army, his army, go into Bethlehem and all the villages around and slaughter every child who looks to be two or younger. A hefty price. A terrible violence, a great injustice because of one human being's fear of losing power. And after a time in Egypt, probably about 2 years, Joseph has another dream. And he's told to take the child home to Israel. go back to Judah. And as he's traveling, he hears things. You know, we all do that. You stop at the coffee shop, at the truck stop, and you hear something like maybe there's icy roads in the direction you're going on a highway and you should go a different highway. You know, you hear things. That's what he heard. He heard that Herod's son, now Herod had three sons, but the son who had received the throne in Judea, Archelaus, who was just as brutal as his father, was not easing up in his reign. And so Joseph decided to go to Galilee, where the other Herod, Antipas, was king. He felt safer there. And that's what they did. All of this fulfills prophets, which Matthew teaches us and relates us back to the Hebrew scriptures. But I wanted us to think a little bit today about that family. According to Matthew, Joseph is from the town of Bethlehem. He's at home. He is of the lineage David. This is his home, and that's where they are. The baby's born, and the Magi travel to find him. But like that, he packs it all up, or at least as much as he can carry, and leaves. A teenage mom, a man whose sustenance is his small little farm and his carpenter shop. And he's going to go to a land where he doesn't speak the language, probably can't get employment, and he's got to provide and care for them. And then he has to travel back, hoping not to get detected. And instead of getting to go home, he has to go to another district, a different state, a different place, where there's not family to help with childcare or building a house or lending you their canned goods until your garden produces, starting all over again from scratch. Emmanuel, God with us, came that we might be reconciled to God, that we might become part of God's realm, where there is justice and righteousness. And yet right there in one chapter, we see tyranny and power, violence, death, illegal immigration, homelessness, foreigners, teenage moms, hunger, displacement. All that we might know God. I was struck by the themes in this chapter that 2,000 years later we're still hearing about. And I'm wondering if any of us have had dreams or been given a vision from the Holy Spirit that might help us act like Joseph and take a stand against injustice, to work for righteousness, to share hope with people who have none. Are they there and we don't know them? Those visions? Are we there? Are they there? And we're afraid that we can't make them happen? Do we have dreams, but we don't know how to begin? Culturally, we have a new year today. But each day we have a new year, don't we? We talk about New Year's resolutions. After I got into the Bible study at my hairdresser's, she started on New Year's resolutions, and I said, well, you know what? I think I'm going for a word this year. She says, like what? Exercise? She was young and tiny. And I said, no. I think that the word I'm choosing this year is to be centered. Way back when I was her age, I learned what was called the relaxation response, and then with its theological dimensions became centering prayer. It's about sitting in silence and stilling the mind and being open that God's Spirit might be placed in me, and later I might understand if God spoke to me what it was. But in doing that on a daily basis, I felt centered. And sometimes in the stresses of the life, I haven't stayed true to that. But when I'm centered, there's a peace. When I'm centered, there's visions. When I'm centered, I know the gifts I've been given in order to help fulfill those visions. When I'm centered, all the other stuff seems to melt away. Perhaps on this new year, we all might find a word that we will try to live into. I would encourage us to have that word be drawing closer to God, listening for God's Spirit to give us the insight we need that we might work to bring about God's realm just in the way we live. May we have God's blessings on this first day of the new year and on each day that begins a new year. Amen.